The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, an episode from The Adventures of Dick Cole, The Valley of Doom on Incredible But True, and Freddie Nagel and his orchestra with a live remote broadcast from 1947. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, The Valley of Doom on Incredible But True, and Freddie Nagel and his orchestra with a live remote broadcast from 1947. Right now, an episode from The Adventures of Dick Cole as WMKY presents The Golden Age of Radio.
Presenting Dick Cole and his exciting adventures at Farr Military Academy.
We'll always be near to far. We'll praise her where'er we are. We'll cheer her each day with a hip hip hooray. It's a rule there's no school like far. We'll sing out our loyalty. We'll ring out with voices free. As we travel through life, we will follow our star. We'll always be near to far.
Listen, boys and girls, here's exciting news. Today we bring you a thrill-packed new radio program, one of a series of Dick Cole's adventures at Farr Military Academy. You've met Dick Cole, the hero of Farr Military Academy, in Blue Bolt magazine, and you've met him in Foremost Comets. And now you can meet him every week at this same time over this same station on the air. In a moment, you'll hear from Dick himself. Here's Dick Cole, who wants to tell you something about what happens on our program today.
We had a pretty unusual situation here at Farr lately. It sure was exciting. For the first time in Farr Academy's history, we were tied with Wilson Academy in athletics for the year. My roommate, Simba, was over at a meeting of the Cadet Athletic Board. I was expecting him back any second with some news. Then he came across the quadrangle.
Hiya, Dick.
Hiya, Simba. What's new?
Major Farr just had a talk on the long-distance phone with Colonel Wilson, and they decided to have a playoff match for 10 points.
You mean the 10 points will put the winner in the clear?
Yep, and give the winner the silver cup.
Well, what kind of a match is it going to be, Simba?
Boxing. 10 rounds.
Oh, swell.
Well, I'm glad you think so, because listen, there's some more news.
For instance?
Guess who's going to represent Farr?
Well, Fred Gibbon would give almost anything to get this fight.
Maybe so, Dickie, my boy. But the Cadet Athletic Board decided unanimously that you're it.
Say, that's pretty nice. But you know, Fred Gibbon is going to be mighty disappointed.
Well, you won the decision against him last year in the intramural championships, didn't you?
Well, yes, but...
But nothing. Now, you have something more important than Fred Gibbon to worry about. You got to start training, and right away, too.
I think I'm in pretty good shape right now. But I'd better start some road work.
Oh, you have to do more than that.
Good old Simba. Always has an angle.
No more dessert for you over at mess hall.
You'll eat all my desserts from now on and get fat.
Well, I'm doing it for purely patriotic reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You have to clean the daylights out of Dave McNamara of Wilson Academy in that fight.
Oh, is McNamara going to fight for Wilson?
He is.
Say, Dave McNamara is a terrific boxer. I really will have to buckle down to some fancy training.
You can say that again. Dick, you gotta train like everything, or Farr won't win that silver cup.
Simba, is Dick really training hard for the fight?
I'll say he is, Laura. You can tell your dad that I've never seen Dick Cole in better condition. Yes, ma'am, your father is gonna be mighty proud of having coached the best boxer in this part of the country. I hope.
Oh, I'm sure Dick will win. But Dad says McNamara's awfully good.
He'll have to be to keep away from that Dick Cole right hook.
Simba, look.
What's wrong, Laura?
I think that's Fred Gibbon over there, going into that telephone booth with his coat collar drawn up. Doesn't he look all sort of peculiar?
Peculiar?
I mean, kind of sneaky.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right. It is Fred. The way he's peering around, he's always afraid somebody may be following him.
I didn't tell you this, Simba, but a couple of the plebes told me this morning that Fred is just mad as hops because he isn't going to fight McNamara instead of Dick.
Come on, let's see if we can listen in on that phone call. I wouldn't put anything past that Gibbon fella.
Let me go and listen alone, Simba. He might notice us if we both try to stand outside the booth.
Well, okay, Laura. There's something fishy about the way he sneaked into that phone booth.
I'll let you know whatever I find out.
Hello? Hello, Wilson Academy? Let me talk to Cadet Green. Yeah. Show that guy Cole something. Thinks he can go tossing his weight around, huh? I should have been fighting for Farr, but oh... Hello? Hello, Green? This is Fred Gibbon. All okay at your end? It's safe here. Now, look. I've been thinking this thing over. Here's the way it'll work. When this semester ends, I'll switch over to Wilson Academy, and you and your fellows will make me a cadet captain. Okay so far? Good. Well, sure, there's more. You guys will cut me in on your bets on McNamara. Well, it looks suspicious if I went around in a Farr uniform making bets on a Wilson cadet now, wouldn't it, huh? That's the way that you cut me in, or there's no deal. Well, that's better, pal. I'm glad you see the light. Now, look, don't you worry, pal. I told you I'd take care of Dick Cole. Well, I know I'm going to fix it. It'll be fixed, that's all. Just depend on me.
Dick! Dick, I've got to speak to you.
Oh. Hi, Laura. Say, watch me sock this punching bag. I think my eye's getting a lot better.
Please, Dick, it's terribly important.
Oh, sure, Laura, I'm sorry. What's upsetting you?
Well, I just overheard a phone call that Fred Gibbon was making from the booth in the corner of the gym. And, Dick, he's out to hurt you.
Oh, come on now, Laura. What would he do, and why would he do it in the first place?
He's jealous because you're going to fight, and he isn't. That's why. I heard him talking to somebody over at Wilson Academy. They're going to do all kinds of things for him, Dick. Make bets on McNamara for him and everything.
Uh-huh. And what's he going to do for them?
Something to you. Huh? I heard him say that he'd take care of things so you'll lose the fight.
Now, don't worry about things, Laura. If McNamara beats me, it'll be because he's a better boxer than I am. No other reason.
Oh, you make me just furious, Dick Cole.
But, Laura, what can I do? I can't very well go to Gibbon and say that the coach's daughter heard him talking to somebody on the telephone. He'd only deny it. And it would put him on his guard, besides.
Yes, that's true enough.
Well, I don't see anything that I can do then. Or that you or anybody else can do either.
You can watch your step. That's what you can do. Oh, please, Dick. So much depends on this fight. Please be careful.
Okay, Laura. I'll watch my step. And I'll keep my eyes open, too. Will that satisfy you?
I suppose it's the best we can do.
And I promise you, Laura, if Fred Gibbon is up to some monkey business, I'll have to try to stop him. You know, Simba, Laura was really excited. She has it all doped out that Fred Gibbon is going to keep me some way from winning that fight.
Yeah? Well, you'll be a dope if you don't listen to her. And keep your eyes open. She tell you about that telephone conversation?
Oh, sure. But, you know, I'm sure that she got the wrong idea from it. Oh, hey. Here comes Fred Gibbon now. Tell me, does he look suspicious to you?
Listen, that guy Fred's no dope.
Hello there, Dick. How are you, Simba?
Hi there, Fred. You know, I'm counting on you at the fight tomorrow.
Well, you can count on me, Dick, pal. Yeah, you sure can.
I know it, Fred. Say.
Sure.
Well, so long, Fred.
Yeah. Well, so long, boys. I'll be seeing you.
Listen, Simba. I trust Fred Gibbon. He looked me straight in the eye when we shook hands. I've known him for a long time, remember. I can't figure him pulling a fast one on me.
Oh? Well, listen, Dick. The way I'm beginning to feel about that Gibbon guy, I wouldn't trust him even if I were his own grandmother. Think it over, friend. Well, I've got a class. See you later.
Yeah. So long, grandmother. It could be, I suppose. Yes, I suppose it just could be that Laura and Simba are right. I guess I'll just duck around this corner a second and keep an eye on Fred Gibbon. That's funny, the way he's been hanging around that post there as if he's waiting for me to get out of sight. Now he thinks I can't see him any longer. He's ducking into the chemistry lab.
Hi, Dick. What are you doing?
Oh, hi, Laura. I'm just looking for some change I dropped. Chemistry lab. I never noticed Fred Gibbon was especially interested in chemistry before. Why this sudden interest in chemistry? I wonder why.
You walking up and down?
That's right, Simba.
Oh, for Pete's sake, why don't you go to bed? Save all that energy for the fight tomorrow. You'll need everything you've got against McNamara. Coach and Laura were over at Wilson today, and they said McNamara is really hot stuff in a ring.
I'm thinking, Simba. Go to sleep yourself.
For Pete's sake, thinking.
I'm going out for a little while.
Now? This hour of the night? With the big fight tomorrow? Are you nuts or something?
I'm going over to the chemistry lab.
The chemistry lab?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that doesn't beat everything. Now, you know you've always been first in chemistry, so why do you need to put in time on it at night? Go to the lab after the fight.
This is going to be a little extra work, Simba. I've got a hunch.
What kind of a hunch?
Suppose I answer your question with another question. Fred Gibbon's chemistry locker is the one right behind yours, isn't it?
Yes, and so is his workbench, and... Hey, Fred Gibbon, what have you got up your sleeve? What's cooking, Dick?
I'm not sure. And I don't want to say until I am. Well, thanks, Simba. I'll be seeing you in a little while.
Wait for me, Dick. I'm going over to the chemistry lab with you. I wouldn't miss this any more than I'd miss the fight tomorrow.
Well, hurry up, then. I've got to get a little shut-eye while I'm at it, too, you know.
Just give me 2 seconds to get my shirt and pants on. Boy. Sure is quiet around this lab.
It won't be long with all that racket you're making.
Well, that's because I can't see. Where's that darn light switch?
No, you keep away from the light. If Gibbon should be up to anything shady, he might notice the light on in here from his room.
Oh, I see. Only I don't see at all because of the dark.
Here, I brought this electric torch along. You hold it, Simba. And be sure that you keep the light shielded.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, That's better.
Is this Gibbon's locker?
Yeah, yeah, this is the one. And that's his workbench right there to the left of the locker.
Fair enough. All these lockers are open.
Well, what are you looking for, Dick?
Simba, my fine friend. I let you come along with me against my better judgment. You can now vindicate that judgment, partly anyhow, by keeping quiet.
Now listen, buddy.
You just stand there and hold the electric light for me, and let me try to figure this thing out.
Okay, okay, I'll be quiet like a mouse.
Good. Let me see. I'll try out some of these chemical formulae Gibbon has mixed in the test tubes. Nope. Nothing I'm looking for in that. Maybe this one.
Dick.
Shh. Well, I guess I'm wrong after all. At least Laura can't say I wasn't careful after her warning about Gibbon.
Dick.
Quiet, Simba.
Dick, I'm trying to tell you the stuff in that pig test tube, whatever it is beginning to fizz like anything.
Huh? You're right, Simba. I didn't think it might be a delayed action. Well, well, well.
What is it, Dick? Has Gibbon done something wrong? Is he trying to pull a trick or something? What's it all about, Dick?
If it means what I think it does, Fred Gibbon is a crook who's going to get the biggest surprise of his life tomorrow. And if I'm wrong...
Oh!
If I'm wrong, it means that McNamara will win the fight, and Farr will lose that silver cup.
Match between Dick Cole of Farr and Dave McNamara of Wilson Academy. As the two schools are tied in athletics for the year, whoever wins this fight will also win for his school the silver cup that symbolizes athletic supremacy. Both boys are in the pink of condition, and it looks as though we're going to see a real fight. Cole is a fast-moving boxer with a hard right and lightning left, and McNamara is one of those old-fashioned sluggers with dynamite in every punch. But we have a few moments now before the fight itself, and I'd like to turn the microphone over to Major Farr himself for a few words of greeting. Ladies and gentlemen, Major Farr.
Thank you, and good afternoon. Our military academy is glad this afternoon to welcome as our guests our friendly rivals of Wilson. On behalf of my corps of cadets, I want to extend greetings to Colonel Wilson, to his staff, and to his own splendid cadets. I know they will agree with me that we are about to witness an exciting and historic prize fight. And may the better man win. Thank you.
Thank you, Major Farr. Now, in the few moments remaining before Dick Cole and Dave McNamara come from their dressing rooms, I want to tell you something about...
Major Farr! Major Farr!
Why, hello there, Laura. All set for the big event with a new dress, I see.
Major Farr, the most awful thing. Fred Gibbon is going to be Dick's second.
Well, of course he is, Laura. Fred was second in our own boxing matches several months ago. He lost only to Dick in the finals.
But...
So naturally, we had to give him the honor of being Dick's second.
Oh, but Major Farr, Fred is going to do something to hurt Dick. You mustn't let him be Dick's second.
Going to do something to hurt Dick? Nonsense. Laura, my dear, don't let your imagination run away with you.
Oh, please, Major Farr, please listen to me. I warned Dick several weeks ago, and apparently he isn't paying any attention either. But somebody has to do something.
Laura, I've known you all your life. And all I can say is that you ought to know better. Farr cadets have a code of honor. And Fred Gibbon will be a good sport and a good second. Just as good a second as Cole will be a fighter. Now, I suggest that you return to your seat, young lady, and watch the match.
The two fighters have had their instructions now, and they've returned to their corners. And there's the bell. Cole and his maroon and gold trunk steps out into the center of the ring fast. McNamara's waiting for him. They're circling, slowly eyeing each other. And finally, Cole lets go with a right to the head and a left to the head. McNamara backs away. He moves in with a short right to the body and another right to the body. Both boys are blocking beautifully. I don't know when I've seen two such evenly matched fighters. Cole is throwing left jabs and right hooks now. McNamara is beating them off with his arms. And Cole lands a terrific right to the head and a left to the head and a right to the body. McNamara shakes his head and moves away. He's on his bicycle. There he goes back in. And he lands a hard right to Cole's ribs. Now they're circling around again. Cole's moving away.
Simba, look at that. Look what Fred Gibbon's doing.
I've been watching the ring, Laura.
Gibbon dropped some kind of powders into Dick's water pail. I saw him do it. Oh, Simba, what are we going to do?
Come on in, Dick.
Oh, we can't do much, Laura. There's the end of the round. We sure can't do much now.
Come on in.
Nice round, Dick. I think it's all yours.
Thanks. Thanks, Fred. That McNamara is all right. And he packs some wallet.
You'd better rest. Here, have some water.
Yeah, no. No, thanks. I don't think I'll bother with any this round.
I think you'd better drink some, Dick. Here, go ahead.
You're awfully anxious for me to have some of that water, aren't you, Gibbon?
Oh, no, not at all. I just let you water, that's all.
I see. Well, all right, Fred. I'll take some of the water.
Good, that's the boy.
But you'll drink some of it, too.
Well, listen, what's the big idea?
Here, you drink some, and so will I. Yeah. That's the spirit.
I think you're awfully smart, Cole, huh? Well, all right, I drank some of the water, too, but you forgot one thing.
Did I?
You sure did, brother. It doesn't matter about my taking the water. I'm only a punk second, but you've got a prize fight on your hands. Happy landings, Cole. Happy landings, kid.
There goes the bell for the second round. Both boys are moving out of their corners. Cole is moving in fast, as he always does. McNamara of Wilson is slower, more cautious. Cole opens up with a left jab to the body. Oh, and that one must have hurt. He tries an uppercut, but McNamara backs away from it. And Cole is in there again with a fast right to the head. And another fast right to the head. Oh, that's funny. Cole is groggy. He's moving around out there, shaking his head. And McNamara hasn't touched him. Cole looks as though he's sick. This is very strange, ladies and gentlemen. Dick Cole of Farr looks punch drunk, although not a punch has landed on him. He's keeping away from McNamara. The Wilson boy is trying to move in for a kill. If McNamara can catch Cole, this fight may be over. But look. Look, Cole is keeping away from him. He's still shaking his head. Dick Cole may be sick, but there's nothing much wrong with his footwork. He's... Yep, there he's out of it. Yes, whatever was wrong with Dick Cole doesn't seem to be bothering him anymore. He just snapped his head up, and he's wading right into McNamara. Both boys are throwing lefts and rights all over the ring. What a comeback this is for Cole. Cole has landed a tremendous right to the head. And another, and a left to the body. And another smashing right to the head. And McNamara is down. McNamara is down. Dick Cole is the winner by a knockout. Dick Cole has won the inter-school competition for Farr over Wilson Academy by knocking out Dave McNamara in the second round of their fight. And say, there's something going on over in Cole's corner. Several people milling around there. I see Major Farr hurrying over. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll try to find out for you just what's happening. Let me see what I can find out. I'll move over there now with the microphones.
Oh, Dick, you won. Congratulations. You were wonderful.
Thanks, Laura. Thanks.
Nice going, Dick. Hey, what happened to you there? You gave us heart failure for a while. You looked like you were going to faint and...
Faint? Look, Fred Gibbon has fainted.
All right, let me through here, please. Let me through. Well, congratulations, Cole. I'm proud of you.
Okay.
Why, what's happened to Gibbon? Get a doctor.
There's no need for a doctor for Fred Gibbon, sir. He's gone to sleep.
Is this a joke? What do you mean, Cole?
It's no joke, Major Farr. If you'll have the contents of this water pail examined, I believe you'll find evidence of knockout drops.
Knockout drops?
Yes.
That's what I saw Gibbon dropping into the pail then.
Because of your tip to me, Laura, I watched things pretty carefully. And last night, I figured the whole thing out.
I want to know more about this.
Well, Dick and I went over to the chemistry laboratory last night, Major Farr. Dick is pretty darn smart in chemistry. You know, it's a hobby of his. And he figured out with some experiments that Gibbon had made up some knockout drops.
Before I ate anything today, Simba tasted it first. With nothing in my food, I knew that Gibbon would have to try putting the drops in my water pail.
But why? I can't understand this.
He was going to transfer to Wilson Academy, and they were going to make him a cadet officer there. Some of the Wilson boys were, I mean. And Gibbon's been on McNamara, too. I overheard him on the telephone, Major Farr.
At the end of the first round, Gibbon insisted that I drink some water from the pail. So I knew he'd put the drops in there. And I made him drink some, too. With the result that you see, he's out cold.
Well, then how does it happen that the drops didn't knock you out too, Dick?
Oh, that. Well, sir, I thought I'd better not take any chances, so I fixed up an antidote for the sleeping stuff. I mixed it from some chemicals in my own locker. I took some of it last night and some more this morning.
Smart thinking, lad.
Thanks. I was almost out for a few seconds in that last round, but the antidote worked. I was afraid for a few minutes that I'd made a mistake and that it wouldn't work.
You've used your head as well as your fist today, Cole. And Laura, I owe you an apology. If I'd listened to you...
There was no real harm done, Major.
Well, thanks to Dick Cole,
oh,
I...
What's happened to me? Oh, my head. It's a knockout.
Oh. We know the whole story, Gibbon. You've outsmarted yourself this time. As soon as you are able to pack your things, you will leave this school. And when I've told Colonel Wilson what you tried to do, I'm sure that he won't have you at his school either. You may consider yourself expelled, Gibbon. Effective immediately.
There's been a mistake someplace, sir. You see,
we know all we care to know, Gibbon. You will leave the school at once.
All right. I'll go. Some people get all the breaks.
Some people make the right breaks for themselves. Well, Dick, here's the silver cup. You've won us permanent possession of it.
Oh, I'm awfully glad, sir.
I'm grateful. And so is the whole school.
Well, I... That is... Gee, sir. Thanks, and... Well... Oh, heck. Let's all go get something to eat.
Steak for everybody. And while we're eating, Dick, I want you to explain those 1-2 punches of yours to me carefully. That quick left to the heart and then the right to the jaw... Son, I've seen a lot of boxing, and I've never seen anything more effective.
Thank you.
Listen in again next week, same time, same station, for another thrilling half hour with Dick Cole at Far Military Academy. Remember, the adventures of Dick Cole are brought to you by two of your favorite comic magazines, Blue Bolt and Foremost Comics. And so until next week, here's Dick Cole saying,
so long, friends. See you in a week.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio with an episode of The Adventures of Dick Cole. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. In a moment, Freddie Nagel and his orchestra with the live-remote broadcast from the Empire Room at the Palmer House in Chicago on June 24, 1947. Right now, we learn about the Valley of Doom on Incredible But True as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
We think of the pioneers and trailblazers of the Old West as rugged and realistic men who would be not in the least concerned with such things as the meaning of visions and dreams. But out of California, during the colorful days when the wild scramble for gold was on, comes an authentic story of one such pioneer who was apparently unlike the rest. His name was Captain George Yount, and he was a man who believed in dreams.
It was in November of the year 1852 that Captain Yount accompanied old Henry Horn on a hunting trip. They sat one morning around the campfire that blazed outside their tent.
What's on your mind, George?
Oh, I wish I knew, Henry. Just a kind of feeling.
Your bones are telling you there's snow in there. We was going to be up there in the mountains tonight. Might be something to worry about, but down
Henry,
here...
Henry, wait a minute. Snow in mountains. That's it. I dreamed about snow and mountains last night. It's coming back to me now, Henry. They were trapped up there in a little narrow pass. They were snowbound. A party of immigrants. There was eight of them. No, nine. Nine, including the young lad. Just a boy he was, and he was crying. I saw the pass as clear as I ever seen anything.
And Captain Yount did proceed to describe the mountain pass, just as he had seen it in his dream.
You darn fool, George. Oh, you darn fool. No wonder you seen that pass so clear. It's the Carson Valley Pass. You didn't make it up in your dream. You just remembered it, that's all.
I wouldn't know, Henry. You see, I've never been there.
Captain Yount's hunting luck was bad that day. His mind seemed to be on something other than hunting. And toward evening, as the two men made their way back to camp.
Henry, I'm heading back for town tonight. Organize a rescue party.
Well, who in tarnation you going to rescue?
Nine immigrants, snowbound up in Carson Valley Pass.
George, how do you lost your mind or something? That was a dream you had.
Maybe it was just a dream. Maybe not.
The captain and a small band of well-paid adventurers set out on horseback for the mountains. For 3 days, they rode without seeing the slightest trace of the emigrant party. But as they approached Carson Valley Pass, the captain's mouth fell open in amazement. The snow piled to the treetops, the very path beneath his horse's feet, all were just as he had dreamed. And so the captain was scarcely surprised to find, on the morning of the fourth day, A boy of 16 standing guard at the mouth of the pass.
That's him. That's the lad I saw crying in the snow.
But there were no tears in the boy's eyes now. Only joy and relief and unspeakable gratitude. And as Captain Yount leaned over him, the boy murmured through frozen lips.
The rest of them are back there in the pass. There are just six, including myself.
Well, now that's strange. I could have sworn there were nine.
There were a few days ago, sir. But three of the men have died.
And so Captain Yount's dream was realized to the last detail. To those who are skeptical, one can only cite the words of Horace Bushnell, the foremost religious scholar and theologian of the last century, who said, "You need have no doubt of this story. We in California know the facts." And facts they remain. Facts which have never been satisfactorily explained. Facts incredible but true.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Floors, doors, walls, halls, white sidewall tires and old golf balls.
Sinks, stoves, bathtubs he'll do. He'll even help clean laundry too.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Can he clean a kitchen sink?
Quicker than a wink.
Can he clean a window sash?
Faster than a flash.
Can he clean a dirty mirror?
He'll make it bright and clearer.
Can he clean a diamond ring?
Mr. Clean cleans anything.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
The American Broadcasting Company presents Freddie Nagel and his orchestra. Good evening, everyone, from the beautiful Phoenix Gold Empire Room of the Palmer House right here in Chicago. Yes, that's a theme song that you should know very well. Sophisticated swing, and that means Freddie Nagel and his orchestra here to entertain you for the next quarter hour. So join us, won't you? Sophisticated swing, you know, includes the rhythm of the Roomba. So let's have just that as Freddie and the boys go out with Miss Lou.
Thank you.
Pedro, bring the flashlight, for Senor Federico Nagel is going to continue in the Latin American vein. Si, it's a samba, Tico Tico. Freddie Nagel swings those maracas around. I'm sure his chest expansion must be up 2 inches and his biceps at least 3/4 inch. Well, enough of the physical statistics now. It's time to get a little romantic here in the beautiful Green and Gold Empire Room of the Palmer House. Lovely Jane Easton to sing a very lamentable melody. You're not so easy to forget, you know, Jane.
You're not so easy to forget.
sure enough, we're going to pick up the tempo now, and we're going to give the whole band a fine workout, because Dick Baldwin and the boys are going to sing and play "You're the Sunshine of My Heart." Times of fleeting and flitting and all that sort of thing, but there should be time for a chorus or so of April Showers. Let's have it, huh? There's that theme song again, Sophisticated Swing, which means it's time to say so long to Freddie Nagel, his saxophone, and his orchestra. All of it coming to you from the beautiful Green and Gold Empire Room of the Palmer House right here in Chicago. Your vocalists this evening have been lovely Jane Easton and Dick Baldwin. This is your announcer, Jack Brand, saying so long for Freddie Nagel and all the gang. Night, everybody.
A crime, then I'm guilty, guilty of loving you. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty. Guilty of dreaming of you. What can I do? What can I say? After I've taken the blame. You say you're through, you'll go your way. But I'll always feel just the same. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. Loving you, dear, like I do. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty. Guilty of loving you.
Golden Age of Radio on WMKY, Ella Fitzgerald featuring Eddie Haywood and his orchestra. Guilty from 1947. We also heard Freddie Nagel and his orchestra from the Empire Room at the Palmer House in Chicago on June 24th, 1947. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.